Amen. If you have your Bible tonight, go with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 12. Does anyone need a Bible? Anyone need a Bible? Brother Charles, can you help us with a Bible here? Anybody else need a Bible? Oh, Brother Jeff's got it. Okay. Thank you. Romans chapter number 12, we're continuing our series. Anybody else? Anybody got a sword? Okay. Bible. Continue our series on spiritual gifts. You'll remember last week we began actually talking about some of the spiritual gifts, and the one that we looked at last week was the one about teaching. But just by way of introduction, and we'll jump into number two tonight, I want to give you, and if you take notes, it'd be a great thing to write down. If you don't take notes, it'd be a great thing to at least try to memorize and think about regularly, and that is this: the three main objectives that we have as Anchor Baptist Church. And really, when I give you these three main objectives that we have, and we've talked about them before, but maybe we've not mentioned them in this way, then we're going to understand, I think more will understand, well, what is spiritual gifts? What is it even? Why does it matter? And it does matter. It is a big deal. Let me give you these three objectives that we have. Number one, glorify God. Glorify God. There is nothing that should take the place of glorifying God. Whatever we do, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, 1 Corinthians 10:31, do all to the glory of God. So every time we have a church service, every time we have an activity, doesn't matter what it is, we want to glorify God. Number two, we want to edify the saints. We want to edify the saints. And really, this is where the purpose of spiritual gifts comes in. As you know, we've been laying that groundwork. We want to edify the saints. And it's very, very important that we do this, because if we don't do this now, you realize what happens. If we don't do this continually, you know what happens, and that's this: the church eventually dies. Now, I'm not saying not the church, as in God's church, it never dies. I'm saying Anchor Baptist Church. Because eventually, you and I, once we hit 100, we're not going to be able to do what we're doing anymore, right? We're going to 100, right, Brother Hendry? 100 years old, we're going for 100, amen? And Brother Gordy's almost there. We're just going to follow his lead. And so, that's a little bit facetious tonight. Many of us aren't going to make it to 100. I don't think I'm going to make it to 100. But the point is, we need to edify one another. We need to edify one another so that when God calls us home, we've invested in someone or many someones so that the cause of Christ can continue. So, objectives. Number one, glorify God. Number two, edify the saints. Number three, fulfill the Great Commission. Fulfill the Great Commission. And that's, again, that's, I think you're, we're all in the, we all understand that that's a big deal, telling people about Jesus. But I really believe that is, really that's the order, though, that I think it should be. Glorify God, edify the saints, and then fulfill the Great Commission. And because if we don't glorify God, the other two aren't going to work out too well anyway. If we glorify God, but we don't equip anybody, we're not going to be able to win the lost to Christ. And so I believe there's a proper order there. And again, that helps us to understand why we're doing this. And so glorify God, edify the saints, fulfill the Great Commission. So last week we began looking at speaking gift number one, and that was the gift of teaching. Tonight we're going to look at speaking gift number two, and that is the gift of prophecy. That is in Romans chapter 12, verse number 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. We can also see that in other texts, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 10, and 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 1. The word prophesy here in Romans chapter 12, verse number 6, simply means to speak before someone. From its definition, it is the ability given by the Spirit of God to an individual to proclaim God's truth to others. To proclaim God's truth publicly. It is not giving revelation. Now, at one time, God did speak through people in giving revelation. Why? We've already talked about this because this book wasn't complete yet. Now that we have God's word, we don't need any new revelation. You'll turn with me to the back of your Bible. It's the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. If you haven't marked this verse, it would be a good one to mark. Revelation chapter 22, it would be a good one to memorize as well. We have the completed word of God, and so we don't need someone getting up and saying, well, I'm going to tell you something, I'm going to give you some prophecy now that God gave me last night. Well, if it's anything other than the word of God, I don't want to hear it because it's not of God. Because this is the completed revelation of the Lord. You have it in your hand right there. Look what it says in Revelation 22 and verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man take away from the words of the book, and so forth and so on. I'm referring more right now to the adding to there in Revelation chapter 22 and 18. So it does not mean, what this spiritual gift does not mean, it does not mean having visions of the future. You know, I have a vision that I want to give you. No, prophecy is literally, right, for 2019, what we're saying here is it is preaching, it is teaching of the Word of God. It does mean being a forth-teller. What is a forth-teller? A forth-teller is someone who speaks forth the mind of God. How do we know the mind of God? The Word of God. There you go. That's how we know. Thank you. Yeah, a few people held it up. There you go. That's the mind of God. When you open the Bible, you're opening the mind of God. And we want to know what God, we want to know what God says about certain things, don't we? We want to know what God says about how to live the Christian life. And so we need someone to preach the Word of God. In other words, we need someone to prophesy. See, we have the idea that prophesy is only talking about things, you know, I'm going to tell you something about the future. That is not what this word means in Romans chapter number 12. The gift is not limited to preaching to adults. It can be preaching to young people, preaching to teenagers, but it is speaking. It is sounding forth the Word of God. It is at times pointing out sin with the goal of causing people to be aware of the sin in their life to bring repentance. By the way, we want the person that is preaching the Word of God, if that's what God has led him to do, we want him with the Word of God, not with his opinions, not with his whatever, not with a bad spirit. We want him with the authority of the Word of God, and if it smashes 4 out of the 5 toes on my feet, fine. If it's in love and it's done with the Word of God, that's what we should want. We should want somebody to say, thus saith the Lord. This is how you need to be. If you're a husband, this is how you're to be a husband. And we find it in the Word of God. That's not what we're talking about tonight. What we're saying is, when we hear the Word of God preached lovingly, and you know what, even sometimes if it may not be lovingly, that doesn't give you an excuse, because I'm not going to stand here and say it for the last 18 years that I've preached the Word of God lovingly as I was supposed to every time. Okay, that can happen where it's not coming in out of a vessel of love. It can happen because I have feet of clay. Now I want to pray and I want to seek the Lord, and I don't want that to be the case, but I'm not going to stand here and tell you it's never happened. But that doesn't give us an excuse to not obey the clear teaching of the Word of God. But, you know, pray that we have preachers here and teachers here that give us the Word of God, thus saith the Lord. It is proclaiming the Word of God before an audience, believer, unbeliever. Believer and unbeliever. It doesn't have to be simply in a setting of believers. Keeping God's pure truths before the church family and anyone that would be there visiting. Always being sensitive to the prompting of the Holy Spirit and needs of the church body. That is what we call the gift of prophecy. Further, God has always given this gift. There has never been a time when God didn't have someone preaching his word. By the foolishness of preaching, We read in the New Testament that they are that it confounds the wise. There has never been a time when God didn't have someone preaching the Word of God. Even in the Old Testament, we see the prophets of the Old Testament. What was their main, objective? Proclaiming the Word of God. Now, they didn't have the written Word of God in detail like we do, but they were given a message to preach to the people. I've been reading the book of Ezekiel in my Bible reading. Just amazing. Even today, some of the messages within, and we've got a spider on the loose here. Okay, good. You never know. These are not real, but you'll find that out when you get over there. Proclaiming, preaching the Word of God. You read through those Old Testament prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah. What are they doing? They're standing up, whether anyone listens or not. And Jeremiah's day, very few did. But they were prophecy. They were preaching the Word of God, and it didn't fare too well sometimes for them. But again, that was what God had in store for the people. Some of it was future type preaching. Some of it was present. Some of it was reminding them of the past. You read some of that where in the Bible where it goes back to the nation of Israel. It says, have you forgotten? Have you forgotten all the wandering? Have you forgotten your lack of faith? Have you forgotten how 12 men went to spy on Canaan, 10 were bad and 2 were good? Have you forgotten that yet? And so some of it was going back and reminding them. Read the book of Habakkuk. The preaching of the Word of God. Revival being sought. Revive us again. And again, that's proclamation of the Word of God. Read the minor prophets. They would often speak about what God was doing, what God would do. Prophecy does not always mean a prediction. That was one. I found this this quote. That was one third of its capacity and element was teaching and preaching about the future. Turn quickly to 2 Peter chapter 1, number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Second Peter 1:21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Well, I tell you, we want God's will for our life. That ought to be our daily prayer. God, keep me in your will today. You realize that, you know what? Here's a thought. In one 24-hour period, we can do a great mess of our life. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to be upfront and frank about it. That when we go into every day that we go into, God, help me to be in your will today. God, help me to follow your direction for the day. You know, how easy is it for us to veer off and go into our own direction? It's easy because the flesh is still very powerful. Even though we're saved and we have the Holy Spirit of God living in us, we've got to die to self every day and praying, God, help me today. It's Wednesday. God, help me today to be in your will. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You know what? That's the kind of prophecy we want today. We want preaching that is moved by the Holy Ghost. This person that you see preaching tonight is simply supposed to be a vessel that is controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. I don't have to get anything new from God in the sense of divine revelation, but I want to get application from what we already have, the Word of God. And so that's why it's something that you want to be praying about, and we want to be praying about when a missionary comes. We have a missionary next month visiting with us. When an evangelist comes, again, we've talked about these types of people in our previous lessons. We want the prophecy to be Spirit-filled when someone stands and preaches the Word of God. How about this? In the New Testament, proclaiming God's truth was still supreme. And today, God's truth being proclaimed should still be supreme. Again, glorify God. The purpose of this church, glorify God. To glorify God, we cannot dishonor His Word. We must honor His Word. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. Giving the Word of God. Sometimes food feeding it. Sometimes a truckload of it. But getting the Word of God into our lives. Very, very important. Turn quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'm a firm believer that God blesses the proclamation of His Word. He blesses it. This is not an opportunity. We have about, I usually speak for about 30 minutes. I don't want the 30 minutes that I speak on Wednesday night to be a chat. We can chat afterwards. That doesn't mean it has to be hollering and stomping and all that. Okay? It has, but we want it to be principles from God's Word. Yes, there's applications that we'll give and so forth and so on. But look, we can chat at Starbucks. We can chat at Tim Hortons. You know, we can chat any other time. We want, when it's time to preach the Word of God, we want the Holy Spirit of God to be working. And by the way, it's just as important for you who are sitting in a blue seat tonight to be controlled and filled with the Spirit of God as it is for the one who's proclaiming the truth. If you come and I come when I'm sitting there listening to someone preach and I've got I'm thinking about everything except for the Word of God. Well, you know what? It doesn't matter how demonstrative that the preacher is or quiet the preacher is. You're not going to get very much out of it. We've got to come, and yes, we carry a lot with us throughout the day, and we pick up a lot of things throughout the day. I definitely see that, and it happens to me too. And you know what? It's very important that as we come in and we pull on this property that we do our best to say, okay, God, we're going to have some prayer time. We're going to have some praise time. We're going to have maybe a 30 to 35 minutes of preaching and teaching of your word. I want to be filled as a listener with the Spirit of God, so that I can get everything out of it. It's like getting that sponge and you want to wring every little drop of water out of it that you can. That's what we want to come, and that's how we want to approach the preaching of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 1 says, follow after charity, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. 1 Thessalonians 5:20. This is a challenge to the church, I believe. Despise not prophesyings. And do turn there, please. I'm sorry, I should have told you to turn there. Because I want to show you something quickly. 1 Thessalonians. Remember that when the Bible was given, there were no chapter divisions and there were no verse divisions. We know that. But there's a reminder. And you know, Brother John and I, we have discipleship on Saturdays. And something that he's mentioned to me, and it's been a good reminder, is that whenever he reads a verse, he likes to read the verse before it and the verse after it. And you know what? That's right. That's what you told me. I told you I was going to steal that, and then I was... No, but he said, hugging the verse. I said, if I say that and don't give you credit, will you forgive me? But he already told you. Hugging the verse. First, the verse above and the verse below. Really, that was really a neat... I never heard it said that way before, Brother John, but thank you for sharing that. And in this case, we're going to do that. But let's look at the middle one verse. And the Apostle Paul says in verse number 20, despise not prophesyings. Why don't we want to despise prophesyings? Well, look at verse 19. Let's read it together as if there were no 19 and 20 and 21. Okay? Because those were only put there for reading purposes. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. To me, we can sandwich all three of those together. So if we come in and we despise the preaching of the Word of God, I guarantee you, you are quenching the Spirit of God. Again, not every time that I heard a preacher did I really like what I was hearing. Because why? It was convicting. I need to take that conviction and I need to say, okay, Lord, what am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to grow? What am I supposed to add? What am I supposed to delete? But I like what it says in verse 21. Prove all things. So what we see here is, it doesn't mean that we just swallow all the prophesyings blindly. Prove all things. Check the Word of God. Look, this is not a church where we say, leave your Bible at home, I'll just tell you what you need to know. Like other places throughout the past have done. Okay? We don't want to even mention the name. You probably know what I'm talking about. No, we want you to have this book sitting in your lap. I still think it's the best to have an actual Bible. Now, I do read from time to time from a mechanical device, and I'm not picking on you if you are right now, but it's good to prove things. And notice, hold fast that which is good. You know what? There might be something preached from right here, not that it's not good, but you know what? It's not necessarily for you for that day. So you just let that go, but you hold fast what you needed for that meal. Not everything that you sat down at the table did you necessarily want to eat growing up. There were some things that looked a lot better to you than other things. And so put all these together. We don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. If we despise the preaching of the Word of God, and who does he think he is, and who does he think he is, and no. Again, we want to pray. We want the Word of God to be given to us in the right spirit. But even that, I don't want to have an excuse when the Word of God is preached. I want to embrace the Word of God. I want to prove it. Not that I'm questioning everything that the preacher says all the time, but I do want to prove it with the Word of God. And hold fast, not let it slip, as we talked about even the other day. So this is what we are to do with preaching. Okay? So number two, the gift of prophecy. Let's begin gift number three briefly. 1 Corinthians 12. And that is, these are all the speaking gifts. We're lumping the speaking gifts together. If you're visiting tonight or you weren't here last week, we're doing the speaking gifts first, not because necessarily they are more important, but this is just the way that the Lord has led us to do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. We're looking at the gift of the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge. The Spirit-given ability to observe biblical facts and make conclusions. Someone with an increased level of biblical understanding. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Maybe it's on the same page. Verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all what? Knowledge. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. The gift of the word of knowledge refers to the ability to know facts about a certain about a situation or a spiritual principle that could have not been known by natural means. It's a spiritual gift. Hence the term, it's coming from the Holy Spirit. This allows someone to see a situation as God sees it. Now, I believe this gift not only is a speaking gift, but I believe it can also be in pen form, writing gift. And again, I'm not putting any book above the Word of God. It is the final authority. But I have definitely been blessed by many men and women who have, I believe, the gift of the Word of knowledge for writing. I don't know if I have that one. I don't know if you have that one. I'm just saying, I don't see myself being a writer. I don't know if I have the first two either. I'm just saying for this one, I know that God has gifted me, and maybe you're here tonight and that's you. God has gifted you with the ability of writing. I'm not saying that's the only part of this word of knowledge, but I think it's part of it. It can belong to people, though, who have never been to Bible college. Don't think that because you don't have a certificate on your wall that you went to Bible college or even Faith Bible Institute, that you don't have the gift of a word of knowledge. Never been to seminary, but they have the ability, God-given ability, to study God's word and draw out facts, making conclusions by observing. The gift of the word of knowledge, like all, must be with a humble heart. Think about it, what it says in 1 Corinthians 13 there. Though I have the gift of knowledge, but if it's without charity, what is it? Big fat zero. That would be all of these as well. This gift is to be never taken advantage of another person or another situation. So the word of knowledge. the word, the gift of prophecy, and the gift of teaching. Why is this important? I believe all of these spiritual gifts that we're looking at here each and every week, some of them it's going to be more of a summary like this one here, but I want to come back to the objectives for our church, and we're going to pray and go home. We want this to be a prayer request, by the way. This has got to be a prayer request. Everything about Anchor Baptist Church, number one, glorifies God. Would you pray that way with me? Glorifies God. It's so easy to become self-absorbed, even within church. And when that happens, it doesn't matter if you've got 15 spiritual gifts. If there are 15, they're not going to accomplish anything. Number two, pray that we edify the saints. That is really, I believe, and I've prayed and asked the Lord as we've gone through this, Lord, that's really what I believe you've led here. We want a church filled with a group of edified people. And I can't edify everyone. You've got to help me. You've got gifts that I don't have. I have gifts that you don't have. We put them all together, and what have we got? We've got a body working together to glorify God, to edify the saints, and number three, reach the world with the gospel. We can't skip to number three, though. Hey, praise the God. Praise God for a fervency to reach people with the gospel. But don't skip over number one, glorifying God. We don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. We want to glorify God in all that we do. We want to edify the body of Christ, and we want to reach the world. If we can get our spiritual gifts all working together for the glory of God, I believe we'll reach more people with the gospel. See more people saved, more people discipled, and then the process starts over again. Discipleship. Oh, what's your spiritual gift? Everybody, as soon as we got saved, we were given a spiritual gift or more. But it's a matter of using it, not just having it sit idle for the glory of God. Let's pray.